back to church. We're so excited that you're here. I mean, today's episode is really going to be an exciting episode because we're talking about gratitude. And I don't know about you, but just thinking about gratitude and how it relates to my life, man, gets me excited. So I'm glad you're here today. I know Jason's pumped up. He's got some things he wants to share with us. And I got some things we want to share. So we're going to kick this thing off. Jason, how you feeling today, man?
I feel good. It's still a little weird for me to start an episode without the letter F. Like there's still a small moment, but I think we're working our way through it. We went to some group sessions for people that are in love with the letter F, and we're working our way out of it. No, I'm excited. I think it's cool to it feels like we're branching out, like all the F's were great, but it feels like we're cracking things open and kind of working through some more, what would you call it? Like abstract ideas.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for that. I like the kind of brain games, we have to stretch ourselves. We have to dig in and figure out what's a new angle on these things we want to talk about. Because some of the things we talk about, like gratitude, yeah. I think people have an expectation of what they're going to hear about. And I think sometimes just maybe it's the rebel in me without a cause that I just want to flip it on its head.
You want to flip it?
Yeah. Yeah. And just kind of dig into, I had a wise man tell me one time that the more personal you can make something, the more universal it is. So I really tried to look at gratitude from a very personal angle and then see maybe if while we're talking about it, there's some universal things we could take out of it. And so I'll be curious. I have this list. And by the way, guys, just like usual, Warren and I have not talked about my particular list yet of kind of facets of gratitude or whether it's a situation, activity or something that kind of initiates a feeling of gratitude in me, if that's an accurate way to put that, initiates. Whatever it is, right? Whenever the gratitude strikes, if you will, I kind of wrote down what the situation or theme might be for those things. And so I thought that would be an interesting way to dive in is like, I could say one and Ward could be like, that means nothing to me. That does nothing. I never feel gratitude in those moments. So, but we'll find out. I think that's the really cool part about this. I don't like something to be too scripted, and Warren and I don't write scripts. We just come up with a topic idea and we trust that God is going to give us the words to say, and we'll come up with the words to say, and then God will bless it, whatever order that works in. I'm just thankful, man. I think gratitude is so cool.
Come on.
So good. I don't know if you've thought about it. I'm going to put you on the spot. Like, what are you grateful for? When you think of gratitude, what does that mean?
Ooh.
Like, what does that what does that initiate in your brain?
Ooh. So when I think about gratitude, it's so connected to my physical being, right? It's so because I just envision that when I get to heaven, it's just going to be so good, right? That's my final destination. And so when I think about gratitude, it's so connected to my physical being. And so personally for me, and this may sound a little, I don't know if it's nerdy or just a little slow, a little special, right? When I think about gratitude, I think about inhaling and exhaling. And for me, it's personal because I suffer with asthma, right? If you've ever been like short of breath, it's a unique situation. I mean, if you do exercise and you're short of breath, but when you have asthma, it's like something sitting on your chest and you can't take the breath in and you can't get it out. Right. So it's like, you can't get the air in there. And so it's a panic situation. So if you ever have an asthma attack, you can't breathe and you have the mental going on that's telling you, you can't breathe either. Right. And so, when I think about gratitude, I think about having clear lungs and easy breath. And I'm thankful for that because every day without asthma problems is a great day. And for me, it's like, I don't have like chronic problems. It's been a good long time since I've had a serious asthma episode, but trust me, those episodes need to stay far away from me. So I thank God for breath, and it relates to life, right? He gives us the breath, right? It's his breath in my lungs. And so when I hear that particular like worship song, that's my stuff right there. And it just makes me glad to be alive. Glad to be living this human experience, right? So I know that's a little like, ooh, that's different, but that's me. Gratitude.
No, I thought that was great. I mean, we're talking about getting back to the basics of gratitude and really appreciating things. I think breathing, I think oxygen.
Come on.
Right. Is a underrated thing to be grateful for.
Yeah.
So I heard, and I don't mean to do this. This is like totally unintended consequence, but one of the best metaphors I ever heard for understanding the value of Bitcoin, I know I'm bringing it up again, was about oxygen. Right. Mm. And so, so when you think about, there's an argument sometimes where people say, well, Bitcoin has no value because it isn't anything. Mm. Right. And so the example I heard was, well, that's true, but things that you can touch and are tangible have value, but things that you can't touch have value too. Mm. Because if you're a billionaire, you can't afford the Mona Lisa, right? There's one. And the scarcity there, even if you're a billionaire, they probably will not sell you the Mona Lisa. It just doesn't move, right? It's like owned by the museums or whichever family, and they just don't sell it because it's invaluable. There is no value you can put on the one piece of artwork.
Yeah.
So at the same token, right? So you're a billionaire, you can't buy the Mona Lisa. At the same time, if you're in a room and someone takes all the oxygen out, you would also be scrambling to, if you could, buy as much oxygen as you could.
Yeah.
In theory, oxygen is free, right? But in the moment where you don't have any, that's all that you're looking for. Ooh. And so the whole point was, when you value things in the US dollar,
come on,
and you have a lot of US dollars, there are still things that some people would say are free or don't have any value, that when you need it and don't have it, you will realize the value of it, and you will be grateful for it.
Okay.
So that was the example. Like, I thought about oxygen right there is like, when you have it, you take it for granted, but man, if you don't have it, like what you're talking about, sometimes that drives the real gratitude for when you have something. And I think that's a metaphor for us. It's when you don't have something, it's kind of easy, or can be easier, to be grateful for it when you get it. But we have to be careful, if there's something that we have in abundance, not to take it for granted, because it can go. So, I felt that when you were talking about breath, I felt it. Like, that was, that's a legitimate something to be grateful for, your physical health, right? I mean, if you think in a broader text, there's a lot of people that understand being grateful for health, because either they're declining in health, sadly, or they've struggled with health. And it's not until you twist an ankle that you realize how grateful you are for a healthy ankle, right? It's not until you have a broken arm and you have to do special things and hold it certain ways that you realize, man, life is easier, and I'm grateful for when my arms are healthy, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I thought of immediately, is basically put that category like health, thankful for health. And when you don't have it, and health in theory is free. Like, when you're healthy, you think of it as free, right? Even if your body is in declining health, when you're not in pain, like if you're pain free, even if you're not fully healthy, you're still grateful for that. Mm. Right. Because of the moments where you're in pain.
Wow.
So
I challenge you in that moment, right? Like, and this is kind of tied to like redirect. Cause when I talk to people, right. There are certain people who will never know the measure of health that you have. So when you are completely whole, right. And I will say that you don't have any chronic illnesses. Chronic illnesses or any cold or anything. And you can go and get a clean bill of health from the doctor. Like, you have a measure of health that not everybody will ever enjoy. There are people who are born into this world with chronic health problems that will never leave. I've had a doctor tell me, like, hey, you're going to have high blood pressure for the rest of your life. I'm like, no, thank you. God's a healer, right?
That's right.
And then the doctor says, hey, you're always going to have asthma, right? It's just something it's in your body. You're not going to get rid of it. And I'm like, God's a healer. But while I'm waiting for that ultimate healing, which I may live the rest of my life with this thing, right? I understand like that health is something I can have to be grateful for, because when you deal with something that will never go away, like if there's some injuries and you play basketball, I don't know if you had any major injuries, broke anything, you know, that stuff heals, yeah, but it never goes back to like the way it was before. Mm-hmm. And maybe sometimes it's in our mind. And so the measure of health that we have and we enjoy, that's something to be amazingly grateful for, because I'm not too far from St. Jude's Hospital, and it's full of kids who have lived very little life, and they will never know the amount of health that I enjoy today, even with chronic illnesses, right? And so I'm just grateful that we have the ability to recognize how valuable and how good God is to allow us to experience that level of health, because being sick is no fun. I don't think anybody enjoys being sick. It's
when tough. You're speaking as an expert on that, coming fresh off of it. Like you were telling me just a second ago, you got your voice back in what, like the last 24 hours?
Yeah, yeah.
Like
last 24 hours.
You know, it's like,
it's not as smooth as it usually is.
Nah, it sounds great. Get out of here. If you anybody appreciate who's you. Just cut off the pod, you know, because of that. Nah, that we don't need that. We don't need those fair weather friends that need our voices to sound perfect all the time. You know who you are. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I think that's amazing. Health is like your first thing. So for me, ready? Now this is where it gets a little kind of heady, you know, maybe a little theoretical. The first thing I thought of when I thought of gratitude, and I think this is wild, I am very surprised by this. I thought of scale. Scale, ready, makes me feel grateful. So the immediate picture I had in my head of gratitude, whether this is good, bad, or indifferent, I don't know. Maybe this just shows how selfish I am as a human. I thought of looking up in the sky. And so one of my favorite things to do in the evening is look at stars, and not like a telescope, but just like look up and kind of take in a moment. You know, it was one of those things I tried to do as often as I think of it, like just take a second and look up and realize how finite I am and how minuscule I am in size. And I'm still important to God. In fact, I'm one of the most important things to God. There's billions and billions and maybe trillions of stars, and I'm not an astronomer, so I don't know the exact number. But I'm in one of the most 8 billion important positions in God's life. Me and everyone else on Earth, 8 billion compared to how many stars there are, and just how many grains of sand there are, and how many mountain ranges, and how many, I don't know, other organisms. And we get to be in this class of people that are set apart and created special and different. And scale reminds me of that. Like when you're in the ocean and you look around you, and typically when you're in the ocean, you're only seeing a small segment of the ocean, and it's still breathtaking.
Yeah.
Like look at the scale of this, and then I'm still important. But I also get to be a part of this big thing. And I'm grateful for that too. Like I'm on Earth looking at stars and looking up into space, and or I'm maybe I'm in Florida and I'm just looking at this palm tree and like how huge it is and how it's grown and the amount of time and energy and care that's taken. Or maybe I'm at the beach, like I said, and putting my feet in the sand and just thinking about how many grains of sand there are and how many people are around. And when you look at the scale of the world and you realize how finite and small you are, you become grateful because God loves you. He doesn't just love us, but he does love us. He doesn't just love us. He loves you specifically.
Personal.
Right? And so the scale of the universe or our Earth or my friend group.
Yeah.
Anything that you can compare yourself, the fraction that you are in that thing, and God still says you're one of one to me.
Ooh.
Scale.
Wow.
That's what I mean by scale. That's the scale of gratitude for me. So when I realize my scale in the grand scheme of things, we have a lot to be grateful for. That we're so highly favored and taken care of. So
good.
I don't know if that's true for you. I don't know if that's true for you guys listening, but scale was the first thing I thought. It was like my scale or the scale of everything.
That's so good, man. Thanks. Awesome. I like the angle you took on that. I mean, because I've been able to experience some things that were just mind blowing. Like you talk about the ocean, man, spent 21 years in the Navy. I have seen a lot of ocean and I'm like,
I can imagine.
Like we've been traveling for days and weeks and there's just water.
We're still in water. Yeah.
Like it's amazing. Just the earth that God has created, the scale of, and then you think about, I mean, you're in the stars. I'm not, too much for me. Like, come on.
Oh yeah.
Like, I mean, I like stars, but man, it's a lot, right? You think about the universes and all this stuff you can see and you're like, wow, how great is God? Like he put those things there.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Here's the crazy, like I love this statistic about scale. So the sun is so far away, right? I think it's millions of miles. I hope nobody quotes me on this, but I should have done a little research on my astronomy before we got in here. But the sun is like so many, you know, millions of miles or hundreds of millions or whatever. It's really far away. If it went out, we wouldn't know for 8 Earth minutes, right? So the sun could be gone, but we wouldn't even know for 8 minutes. That's how long it takes the light to get here, right? And what I think is fascinating about that is there's research done where if we were like 100 miles closer, we, you know, think about millions of miles or something between us and the sun. If there was somewhere I saw that if you were 100 miles closer, we would burn up, you know, it'd be too hot. And if we were 100 miles further from the sun, we would freeze.
Wow.
Like think of the design of that. You know, this giant ball of fiery gas. It's like dancing on the edge of a razor blade, you know, where it's like so purposeful and delicate. And yet we all live and take it for granted. Like I'm grateful for that. Just the design of the intricacy of the scale of the universe.
I see it's
crazy. So
I see you.
Yeah.
I see you head of the graphic design department.
Right. No big deal.
Design in there.
Yeah,
I love the design, the way God has designed stuff, right? Yeah. And he allows us to experience it. I mean, like, to me, I don't think there's nothing more fascinating than the human body itself. Like, I'm an anatomy type of person, right?
Mm-hmm. So
the way that God put us together, like, I mean, you can turn this thing upside down. It still works.
Exactly.
You know, it just the way the amount of blood we carry in our bodies, the way our heart operates with all of our organs and how the blood flows through our body, just the amazing how we were put together, not an accident, on purpose.
Yeah. And
you can't recreate it. Only God brings life. I mean, we partner with God to bring life, but he set it in motion. I mean,
yeah.
He spoke it into existence. So that just that meant the amount of just detail that goes into just your life, you know, just you, you know, and the
speciality, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you know this, but there's one thing that all humans have, right? So we're not all born with 10 fingers and 10 toes, right? We're not all born with hair. So you're like, well, what is it that every human, we all have blood.
Yeah.
We cannot operate without blood, right? So in theory, the most abundant piece of genetic material that scientists have had to study is blood. And they have infinite amounts of it. You can get it from any one human, right? And yet we still cannot perfectly recreate
can't
blood.
Do it.
It's the most common human thing. That's how beautiful the design that God put together is with all of our advanced technology, we still can't achieve a perfect replica of blood. And I think that's amazing. Like, that fascinates me, that that's how intricate and special. And yet, I guess widely spread God's design can be. Like, we can't recreate it, but he can recreate it every single time a new human's made.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there is no limit to what God can do. And I'm grateful for that. Like, there's just a lot of, I'm going to be saying that a lot, this gratitude episode. Like, the, I remain grateful for the mysteries of God's design too. I think that's maybe where you're headed a little bit.
Absolutely.
So yours, you were talking about health and anatomy, right? And I was talking about scale. And so my second one, now this, some people that, that know me well may find this fascinating, that I actually find gratitude in these moments. I thought of silence, right? Okay. And so the obvious joke to be made is that I have 8 kids. So moments of silence are like beautiful and rare. And that's why I'm so grateful for them. But that's not really where I was getting at, even though I just wanted to acknowledge the obvious joke that you and I can both make, as we have a bunch of kids running around the house and think, you know, like, we get, silence is like a rare commodity.
Oh,
right?
Good.
Yeah. So grateful. Yeah. But silence, what I mean is I thought of scale, like looking at the stars. And then I also thought of other things I look at, like when my son, Aiden specifically, the other night was sleeping on me. Right. And he's just totally comfortable, fully trusting me. And I don't have to say anything. He doesn't have to say anything. And I'm talking about even when he's awake and we're just kind of snuggling and like watching the movie, or really it's Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, if we're being real. That's what's on tap most of the times on our TV when we're trying to get Aiden to calm down. When he's just resting with me, I don't have to say I love you. He doesn't have to say I love you, but that's what's being transmitted.
Yeah.
Right? So in the silence, right? Or kind of the long car rides. And then I look over at my wife and we make eye contact. We don't have to say anything.
Yeah.
We can be listening to an audiobook or a podcast or music, and we don't have to even interrupt that audio to communicate to each other, right? In the silence, that's what it is. Or you're holding your newborn baby in the hospital and the only thing you can hear is the beep of the machine.
Yeah.
But like, there's a lot going on in that silent
in the silence. So, you know, good.
And I think silence is where my brain can start appreciating what's going on around me. So the reason I made the joke, I'm relatively talkative, like high energy, all those things. I know. I don't mean to be you know, revealing a lot of deep secrets here on the pod, but I tend to be outgoing, high energy and all that. So silence is rare in my life, but, and it, that could be why it sticks out to me, but it's really in the moments where like I'm using silence as a kind of synonym for reflection, right? I'm grateful for reflection.
Yeah.
The moments where I'm thinking about what's happening and not overworking it with language. And I, how fascinating is that, by the way, that think about how often people are like, I can't describe how good this thing is, or I couldn't even tell you why I liked this thing, right? Think about that, like how our brains work, where all that's left is silence, right? You couldn't tell somebody why you were so fascinated. You couldn't explain the miracles of the universe, or or why you loved the thing that you loved. And I think that's cool. Like sometimes I think we work too hard to fill the silence with extra. And I just have to think, like, Jesus understood the beauty of silence, you know? Like, he didn't have to say too much. He didn't have to overshare. There's beauty in the silence.
Come on.
You know, he went alone to pray. I think Jesus got it. I think that guy was onto something. And so I think about maybe the need to be more grateful for scale or be more grateful for silence. And I guess all the things I'm grateful for are the moments where I don't get lost in the day to day. You know, when you're recognizing scale, when you're recognizing silence, you're not getting lost in the phone call or the phone screen or the scroll of the screen or that show that you're watching or the meeting that you have or. So
what's next? I love it.
Yeah. What's on your calendar?
Yeah.
You're not getting lost. You're just in the moment, remembering that these are the moments that you hope for while you're busy scrolling and looking at the calendar and all that. So in those moments, let's live in those moments. Let's be in those moments as deeply as we can. So the silence and scale, those are kind of my first two. And so far for those keeping track at home, you have health and anatomy, kind of that fascination. So what's a, what's a third?
Come on, you, before I get to the third, I got to go back and unpack some of this, the silence thing, because, you know, I think one of mine's kind of closely related to the silence thing.
Okay.
It's moments, right? I'm grateful for the moments. And I essentially mean like the seconds, not the minutes, the seconds, right? You talked about silence and Aiden's your baby, right?
Well, just about. He's 7 of 8. So, but yeah, he's our little, he is as little as they come, basically. Yeah. So,
And so I got 4 daughters and, they're all different. These girls have totally changed my life. They're all different, but only one of them can I sit in complete silence with. And it just, that's what we do. Like, that's a thing we do. And she doesn't live close to me. She lives in Washington State. And so I travel to go see her and it may be 3-4 months sometimes in between these visits and we'd hang out and then there'd just be silence, like just quiet. But in that silence, the communication of, we just love being in each other's presence. Like we're just cool. So I understand that concept that you're talking about, the silence of the moment. Right. And so for me, one of my most grateful thing is the moments. Because I have a big family, 7 kids, all unique, all different, blended. The moments are so precious. I think we talked about this earlier. When you have full access to something, you kind of take it for granted. And for most parents, and most of the times in the church, but not always, right? Families are usually all together. My family's not all together. My 2 older sons live in Virginia. I have a daughter who lives in Washington State. And so some of my kids are distances away from me. And so, it means a different thing when I get to spend time with them because it's not something I'm used to. And so I'm grateful for the moments that I have, with the kids that are distant away, but it also makes me more aware of the moments I have with the kids who are close to me.
Yeah.
My 18-year-old who's getting ready to step out into the world on his own. I've just been just soaking in all of the moments, over the past like 3 months, like just remembering like when he was a baby and like, man, you're 18 now. Like you're about to launch off into the world. He's in between going into the military. Let's go Navy, you know, cause we're Navy family and then going to college, you know, but either way he's leaving. Right. And so it makes me more aware of just the moments we have together. And I'm so grateful that number one, I get to share them with them. You know, I think we often want more of everything, right? We want more. Like we're, you know, the theme of people not leaving us or people always being around us is just like, it's almost gluttony, right? Like, I just want more. That's the only way I'm going to be satisfied. Like if you get any, how about learn to be grateful for that? because some people live in those situations that they have limited time with the people they love the most. And so for me, that's one thing I'm super grateful for, is just the moments that we get to share with friends, loved ones, for me, children, because we don't know how many more moments we get. And it boils down to that. We think we live our life in days or months, but we actually live them in moments, right? And so I'm grateful for the moments, right? And I try to take advantage and be present in those moments. One of my newfound enemies, I love technology, is my cell phone, because I've taken stock in it that I give my cell phone a lot of moments that I could never give back, right? I can never get these back. I can't get any more time. And I spend, you know, it gives you a report. I think a lot of people turn the report off.
Oh yeah, the how many hours you looked at it this week or whatever. Yeah,
they don't want to see it. Like, today you on your phone 16 hours. Like, it's only 24 hours in a day. Ooh, that's bad.
And right? I slept seven of them. Yeah.
And so I just think that, you know, being more aware of what we're doing with these moments just helps us be more grateful for the life that God has given us. And I boil that down to my time with God as well. It helps me value the moments that I get to spend alone in prayer, alone in worship, just in the presence of God and always wanting to have him close and near to me. Yeah. But there's things I have to go do in a day. And so in my spirit, I'm like, God, I take a second. And I know the moment is worth it to stop and be grateful for everything he's doing, everything he has done, and everything he will do in my life. And so for me, big one, the moments.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I thought about the through line between silence and moments.
Yeah.
The word that kept repeating in my head was love.
Let's go.
Right. So you're able to sit quietly with your daughter because there's love in between you, if you will. So you don't have to fill that space with talking or extra or striving.
Yeah.
If you will. Right. Like, you know, the relationship that you have, you both understand it. And so you don't have to fill it with extra.
Yeah.
Because you're content in what's happening right then. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the kind of the through line for silence with me too. Right. Is the moments where I can sit silently is the moments where I'm physically, mentally, and spiritually most content.
Yeah.
You know, we tend to manifest, I think, a lack of security or safety or peace in our body. Like, we tend to use motion and we think we can combat it with motion. And I want to remember that more often I want to use silence and prayer to combat those things.
Yeah.
Because that's where real peace is, right? It's counterintuitive because of our physical body's reaction. But, I want to fill those moments with love and peace and not chaos and activity, you know? So I think that's really good. I totally, totally understand where you were going. I think that's beautiful. So for my third one,
let's go.
Right? So I have scale and silence. Now, the third one, I want to preface it a little bit that it feels a little more, I don't know where it'll go. It feels a little more selfish than the other two, right? So I am grateful for, and man, I'm really like, I want to work hard to maintain humility in this, but I'm thankful for ability.
Ooh.
Right? I'm grateful. I have gratitude for the abilities that God either has gifted me innately or that has allowed me to maintain through nurturing them, right? So in psychology, there is the theories of nature versus nurture.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not really going to get into that specifically. I'm just saying, I don't know. I have a hard time discerning. Is it like something that would naturally have happened no matter what environment I was in?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it something that was nurtured and grown? So I used to be, before I had kids, I used to believe most of what people are is nurtured.
Mm.
Right. So if you're in a good household where it's healthy relationships with parents and all those things, you're going to do awesome in school. Right. Like, your everyone kind of has the same brain or ability. Mm-hmm. And so it's just how it's nurtured. But then I had kids and I realized like there is a lot more natural talent. Mm-hmm. or quirks and kind of characteristics built, yep, into people than I, yeah, ever thought possible. Absolutely. There are things that my kids will do with their feet, you know, like how they cross them and like put their toes over one another. That's something I do that's kind of particular to me that nobody in my wife's family does, even nobody in my family does. It's just, mm-hmm, my thing and it's just how I'm comfortable. And we laugh because our babies will do it in their sleep. Like, oh, wow, it's just genetic. Maybe it's, yeah, how the body is formed. Yeah. But it's really interesting to see how much is nature, and you could never have nurtured it. Mm. Right? Like, it's not like they looked at you and picked it up.
Yeah.
They started doing it from, so a couple of my kids stick out their tongue while they're working hard on something from the age of like a year and a half or two.
Mm.
And my dad used to think that I picked it up from Michael Jordan, but I'm starting to realize some of it may just be nature. Like maybe I happened to do it and Michael Jordan happened to do it also, mm-hmm, because my kids are doing it and they never watched Michael Jordan highlights or aren't old enough to understand. And they're not picking it up from me either. They're just doing it innately. Innately. Right? There's something about sticking that tongue out a little bit that kind of like helps you focus and go faster. I don't know what it is. I don't know what kind of trigger that is physically, but that's just one of the things. Like if I'm really working hard, mm-hmm, my tongue will slightly come out of my mouth and slightly to the, I can't remember, like to the right, I think. But we noticed my kids will do it the same direction, same way.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know what that is, right? Like it's not,
a Fowler thing right there. That's, yeah, right. Yeah. Trademarked, exactly, it.
Yeah, yeah. We should make t-shirts. Hey. But no, that's what I mean. Like it's just an interesting, nature versus nurture, whatever that is, it's, mm-hmm, an interesting thought experiment. But I am thankful, no matter how they got here, for the abilities that I have to, yeah, understand, to teach, to create graphic design work, to play sports, yeah, to have an understanding of finances or statistics or kind of all those things that make the human unique, mm-hmm, right? I am so thankful for my particular abilities because I would say within my ability set is not an ability to enjoy, you know, maintenance on a car engine, or construction, right? How something is made, like system, mm-hmm, engineering and mechanics. That's just not really how I'm built. Like I find, yeah, it interesting, but I'm not talented that way. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I have a deep ability to do it, if that makes sense. But I feel like I am skilled and have an ability to do, yeah, other things. And I'm just really grateful. Like it's really been cool to, as I thought about this episode coming up, what I'm grateful for, I was really trying to find a way to say like, I'm grateful for my talents and my abilities without sounding like I lack humility. But then it dawned on me, everybody has them.
Mm-hmm.
Like everybody has the things, yeah, that they feel like they would, what's a good way to describe it? What would you be willing to do on stage in front of other people, right? Everyone in the human talent show, if you will, there's things that some people are just more comfortable doing than others, right? And whether that's nurtured or that's natural, you were just born with that, whatever it is, I am so grateful for those things because I have had unique opportunities in my life,
mm-hmm,
because of the abilities I have. It's opened up doors and it's actually helped me share God with people, because I think through abilities, people trust you more. Like this is an interesting thought experiment we should walk through, is like what abilities in your life, right? And for those listening too, what abilities in your life have then opened you up to be able to pour into someone else's life? Mm. So if I'm good at video games, then that's kind of one layer. Like I can play video games with other people, but somehow I feel like once you're good at something, like once you are at least apt or capable enough to do something,
mm-hmm,
the people that you do that with begin trusting you in other areas, right? And maybe it's because they see your commitment in that area, or they look up to your ability, or they just have a similar ability. So they see someone that's like-minded or like them. But I think it gives you the ability to then pour into areas of their life that have nothing to do with the abilities. Like the people I play basketball with, they'll then ask questions about other things, because for some reason, being able to look and trust my ability that I have on the basketball court allows me to speak to them about other things, and they can trust that I know what I'm talking about because I know what I'm talking about in another area.
Mm.
So maybe this is, by the way, this is a thought experiment live on the pod for me as we're talking. So help me, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like if you're really, say you're really good at drawing,
mm-hmm.
somebody can watch you draw a few things and just, I love doing that. Watching people draw that are talented. I think that's awesome.
Especially those upside down, like.
Oh yeah. Like they'll paint upside down and then flip. I mean, whatever it is, any artistic ability, mm-hmm. it's somebody's view on something.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of their translation of it. Like there was this guy, Dave White, who used to draw famous sneakers that would come out, and he used to do like abstract painting but he would do it fast speed, like with paintbrushes and spray paint mm-hmm. cans at the same time and be using paint and spray. Wow. But then when he's done, you're like, wow, that does actually look like the shoe from far back. You know, that looks like what he was going for. And it just looks like he's going crazy. It looks like chaos.
Wow.
So to me, I think when you have an ability in something, people trust that you at least have a work ethic. Mm. You at least have an understanding of one thing. I did hear a famous, I think it was Van Gogh, that once said, if a man is master of one thing and understands one thing as deeply as possible, he is then a master of many things. And I think the point is, if you spend time in an area and developing it and working hard,
mm-hmm.
you do learn other things.
Like, right? Self-discipline, commitment. Yeah,
there's a key.
Devotion.
Yeah. There's a key to learning how to learn.
Yeah.
And so if you know how to learn one thing, you probably can develop the skills to learn something else.
Yeah.
So anyway, ability is my third one.
Ooh.
You know, I'm thankful for my abilities. And to me, I waited till the end because like, I didn't want to lose people right away and start the episode and say like, hey guys, I'm really thankful for how talented I am. So, and how great I am specifically. So bye.
But
you know, like,
but I encourage people to lean into that. Right.
Yeah.
Because I think we spend a lot of time always trying to do self-improvement, more improvement, when we're not really tapping into the things that we are really already good at. Like being grateful for who we already are. I think we're always trying to reinvent ourselves or follow trends and just be you. Like, lean into who God made you to be. Like that thing that you would do on stage, right? Develop it, you know, lean into it, use it for God's glory. I mean, it's so good, man. That's awesome.
I find it interesting too. And maybe this is a way to challenge people to like edit your behavior a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What I have tried to learn to do, and I still, there's moments, right? We're always going to have it. What I've tried to learn to do is appreciate other people's, what are we calling it? Like stage abilities,
mm-hmm.
right? Like the thing that they're best at. It's a really interesting human nature thing that we can feel jealous of somebody's talent if there's more social
acceptance.
Kind of acceptance behind it, or like more social fame
mm-hmm.
that comes with it.
Notoriety.
Like, that guy's great at singing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In a weird way, I have met people that I really admire their talents, and a strange thing has happened. We'll begin talking, or it'll come up, or some of my kids will run up and I say I have 8 kids, and the talent that I take for granted of being a father of 8, they are fascinated by,
mm-hmm.
and something flips.
Yeah.
Right. It goes from being the fan to being the admired. And what it dawns on me is that I'm admiring this one specific thing, but I don't know if in that person's life, they're like struggling to have kids, or mm-hmm. they wish they had had more, but this one talent cost them the ability to have more kids. Like, there's just so many things that
so good
when you have the ability.
Yeah.
We tend to take it for granted.
You take it for granted.
Right? Oh, I'm so good at stand-up comedy. But like, that's nothing. That's just, I'm good at it. But man, I love what you do on the athletic field.
Mm-hmm.
Right? every athlete wants to be a rapper. Every rapper wants to be an athlete, right? Right. Every rapper I've ever known is like, they're playing in the NBA All-Star game, like celebrity game. And every NBA player that gets famous enough comes out with like at least one song. And it's just a really interesting thing. Like, we all want to do the thing. Maybe it's because that thing seems further away.
Mm.
And so you're like, man, maybe that's cool. And so what we do is paint the grass as greener.
Mm.
You know, because when you don't live in it every day, you don't see the kind of challenges of that lifestyle.
Mm.
You know, like everybody wants to be an NBA player, but nobody wants to like live alone in a hotel room for 8 months a year. You know, that kind of thing. And everybody wants to be a famous rapper, but most people don't want to be in the booth at 3 a.m. like still finishing that one song. You know, it's like a, it's just an interesting thing. We look at each other's abilities from afar.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're like, man, I want that one. Yeah. That's the one. That's the one that would set it off for me. But then who's pointing at you and being like, oh, I want that one. You know?
Yeah.
So that should make us go, why don't we just appreciate the ones we have and appreciate the ones they have without feeling like we have to be jealous for that ability. And I'm really talking to myself more than anyone else listening is like, in order to be there, hey, that's the next one. In order to be grateful, remove jealousy from your life.
Mm, there you go.
Stop being jealous of the people around you and go do what you want to do with your life.
Yeah.
As long as it, caveat, little asterisk.
I know where
you're
going.
As long as it's healthy. Like, don't go do whatever you want.
Don't go do whatever you want.
Yeah. Whatever healthy ideas. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever healthy ideas you have for your life that are going to improve your life and you're looking at them going like, but I'm not as good as this person at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Go do the thing. Go at least try.
Do the thing.
Maybe you'll find out you don't like it, by the way, or it's not what's working for you, but momentum in life. Right? I am grateful for my personality, my acceptance of momentum in my life. To me, I knew there was jobs I had where this wasn't the last job, but I also didn't regret the job while I had it because I know it was going to be the momentum to the next job. Like, I'm building a resume. So whatever moment you're in life, you're building momentum, hopefully, towards something else.
Come on. It's good.
And if you're not building momentum, let go of jealousy and build some momentum.
Come on. The moments build momentum. Let's go.
That's a shirt.
Let's go.
Let's We've had two t-shirt moments today.
Man.
The moments build momentum.
I got a piece I got to share.
Go.
Hit us. I just feel like this may get a little bit, I'm not emotional, but.
Are you going to cry on the pod?
One thing, nah, I hope not.
Okay.
One thing that I'm really grateful for, I think this kind of just kind of opens the door kind of to my life is provision. I think I can speak probably to the heart of a lot of people around the globe that when you don't have just the basic necessities of life, it's a challenge. It's a real challenge. I've had the honor of going to a lot of countries, been to quite a bit, and I've been to some that are, they're not advanced. Like in just normal places, we take for granted running water, right? And I've helped dig wells in countries where there's no running water. And when you dig a well, they're like, oh my goodness, you've changed everything, right? And so I just thank God that he provides even for people who don't have some of the things we take normal. What they do have is like this joy and this love. And it's like what they don't have, they don't really miss because they've never had it. Right. So I thank God for what he's provided for us in the places that he's provided for us. Specifically for me, I have a heart for people who are hungry. I don't know if I've said this before on the pod, but to me, one of the worst feelings in the world is to be hungry and not have anything to eat. And I'm not talking about, oh, I don't want to eat that. I'm hungry. I'm talking about like you don't have food. I grew up in an era where school lunch was something you paid for. That's kind of in America. That's kind of like, you know, yeah. It doesn't really exist like that. School lunch now is something that comes with the school experience. Kind of, I think some places that they still pay for it. But I went through a period of my life after my father died where food was hard to come by in areas. Right. And so I've experienced like hunger, not like dying, but like, wow, it's been a couple days. We got to figure something out here. And so whenever now it's something that stuck with me that I sit down to eat or I eat anything, I always say grace. And I see people who don't, and I see people who say grace out of like repetition. It's just a thing. They just do it and they move on. I always take a second, just a moment, and just really thank God. Like, you know, there was a time where didn't have this food, didn't have this thing. Right. And so it reminds me of just being grateful for what I have. And I think that kind of rounds out for me, my position of gratefulness, is that, sometimes we go through things in life where we lose the ability to have something, whatever that is. It may be a loved one. It may be someone who you thought was going to be here forever and they passed away, or a job or a relationship. Nothing is guaranteed, only God. And this is what we know about God. He's real good. And everything he does is for our good. And although we may not have everything we want, and sometimes we don't have what we need, what we assume, God's using those moments, right, to help us grow, right, to help our gratitude, to help our faith, to help us be better. And what we have to be careful to not do is forget the lessons that the moments brought us, because God wants to strengthen us through those moments. And so I think we take things more seriously, but more lightheartedly, knowing I can take this seriously but I know that I can trust in God in every situation. Just being grateful for the things that we often overlook. And so if I can speak to anybody today, if I can say anything to your heart, I would say, look around your life and just take inventory of the things that you think are always going to be there. The people that are always going to be there. The job, the prosperity that you think is always going to be there, and just be grateful for it. Yeah. Whatever's missing, whatever you don't have, don't worry about it. Be grateful for what you do have, because it's not promised. It's only borrowed, and it all comes from God. So take this moment in your life to take inventory of that and be grateful. I just had to, you know, throw that in there.
I actually want to flip what you said too. We should also be grateful for the things in our lives that seem permanent, that are negative.
Come on.
And what we should be grateful for is the ability that God gives us to work our way out of it.
Let's go, Jason.
Right? So you were talking about, let's be grateful for work. Yeah. Let's be grateful for family. Let's be grateful for friends, because they're not going to be permanent. Let me tell you, there's things that feel permanent in your life that are negative.
Come on.
And we should be grateful for God's opportunities and abilities to work out of those things.
Yeah.
So whatever you're stuck in,
come on,
you don't have to stay. And whatever I'm stuck in, I'm grateful I don't have to stay that way.
Yeah.
So whatever challenges I have faced in my life, I'm grateful that I never lost sight of the fact that even when I'm not choosing to work out of them, mm-hmm. even when I know they're kind of like scratching and dinging up the, you know, the holes of my life, the ship that my life is headed on, I know that I have the ability to work through those things.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful for another chance.
Come on.
That's my last thing. God keeps giving us another chance. Every day is another chance to say, Jesus, come into my life.
Yeah.
And fill that God-shaped hole and help me work my way out of these things. No matter how far down, whatever rabbit hole you're down, you can get back to the surface.
Yeah.
And God's going to help you work through that. And so be grateful for the things that are good in your life that may be impermanent, and let's be grateful for the things we can work our way out of that feel permanent, man, that we don't want. So yeah, I think gratitude, right, encompasses everything once you realize the sacrifice that Jesus made for your life.
Come on.
So you can't be more grateful than someone who's perfect, the greatest person that ever lived, dying again, not for us, but for me.
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm only grateful for every moment that I've lived my life after realizing how important that sacrifice is. And I think whether it's because you're young or immature, because I've realized something as I've gotten older, there's a maturity there sometimes, and it's not about youth. It's about choices, right? So no matter what's going on in your life, bringing gratitude to the center of your life, and realizing that the joy in your life doesn't come from all these things that you're grasping at. It comes from one thing, and it would be living for Jesus. Because once you start living for Jesus, the other things seem to just fall into place.
Yeah, they do.
Because like Warren mentioned earlier, they're not as important, right? The things that you don't have don't hurt your heart because you're not worried about them anymore. You have the one thing that you know you need. And so if you're not sure and you're listening to the podcast right now and you've made it to the end, let me tell you something. Get sure.
Get positive.
Like, you want an attitude of gratitude? If you put Jesus at the middle of your life, it will work.
Mm.
It will get you there.
Come on.
And so that's it. That's the best advice I can give on gratitude. Because I could give all this kind of human-based advice about like, well, make sure you take deep breaths and make sure you listen to the right music and make sure you stay calm and never fight with people and never do the wrong things and all these things that take away our joy and our gratitude.
Yeah.
But the truth is you have to have a source for it. It has to come from somewhere. You have to be able to appreciate it. And so until you realize the real source that is permanent and always flowing into your life, then all these things that let you down and eventually steal the gratitude, you'll wonder what happened and you'll be confused and it feels lonely. And it's a challenge, but I promise you, if Jesus is the source of gratitude in your life, then you can always point back to what he did. And everything else we do, in comparison, feels small scale.
Come on.
Right? Everything else we do is noise, and we can focus on the silence. And everything else we do that relates to our abilities, we can bring back and just thank God for those abilities. It's not about us. It's about him.
It's so, so good. You know, we've flipped what we've been talking about a couple times today. And I think this is maybe the last flip today.
Okay.
But I want to encourage people. This is how you want to know and test your gratitude. Just look at your attitude. It's impossible to be upset or angry, right? When your gratitude is in a healthy state. Because it changes your perspective on things.
Yeah.
I love that attitude of gratitude, but I think the gratitude controls the attitude, right?
Or it should.
It absolutely should. Yeah. You know, it's going to be that thing that connects you, right? Because I don't really think you can have a bad attitude and really have gratitude. Not the real thing. You can have counterfeit gratitude, but you can't have the real thing. You can't have that gratitude that comes from putting God first, right? In any situation, my car broke down. Your attitude would be like, man, this is terrible. It is, but at least you have a car to break.
Yeah.
Some people don't have that.
Yeah.
You know, at least you have the money to fix the car. I know you had it planned for something else, right? And we talked about the trials that we don't have to stay in, right? We walk through the valleys of shadow of death. We don't live there. We walk through. Right. And so if we keep that forefront of our life, man, so good to know God is in complete control, man. So good.
It's awesome. I love it. We don't have to fear any evil, man.
Come on.
Like we don't have to let ingratitude or sadness or whatever take over, because when we know our source of gratitude,
That's right.
it is everything. So Man, Warren, I appreciate this episode. I'm grateful for you, by the way. I know, like, at some point, the fans have got to be getting a little, you know, like, man, these dudes, it's just a love fest. It's so weird. But I really am truly grateful for you and everything that we get to do together, and then that we spend our time our energy and our resources doing this podcast, and just giving, hopefully, other people value, and just being able to do it with you. Not just like by myself and not with anyone else. Like, you are the perfect partner for this, and I'm grateful for it. And I just want you to know I know it. I want to say it live on the pod.
You're the man. The journey that God has us on, man.
Yeah.
We couldn't have, nobody could have wrote a better book or script, man. This is God putting this together. And I'm so grateful that he allowed us, number one, to be friends, because our friendship is, you know, and then number one, to put the inspiration and to be able to share conversations like this, and hopefully help people like connect to the God we love, the God who loves them that they may not know, and strengthen those who are in God. We get to do this. So, man, I'm grateful for you, man. I'm thankful for you and for everyone listening, man. We are grateful, overjoyed, and so honored that you are here. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right, man. I'm going to pray us out. God, I just thank you so much for the ability and the silence and the scale to be grateful. I'm so thankful for every breath that we take, every moment that you let us enjoy and be grateful for. I'm so thankful for every single time we get to turn these cameras on and we get to have the mics going and we get to just share you with people. I pray that every word that we said would hit people exactly where it needs to hit them in the best possible way. Yeah. Thank you for the ability to just continue to do this. I thank you for today. And I thank you for every day afterwards. And I thank you for being in the midst of every single one. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So good, man.
All right, my man. Gratitude in the books. We'll see you guys on the next one.
Yeah.